Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast, your destination for all things lacrosse. I'm your host, Kyle Devitt. And this man right here, this man, what do I say about you?
I don't know.
The man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Jack Piattelli. How we doing?
Good. How are you today? Love it.
I'm wearing one of your gifts you have given me. Thank you so much for assuming I'm an XL. That's very generous of you, as I am not a large person. So,
but you know,
that.
The reason why I got you an extra large, because you know, it looks like you've been working out your biceps and your chest, really starting to develop as an old man.
Yeah, you know, I'm getting to old man strength. I'm really close. As soon as this goes all white, I think I'll just be really strong.
We haven't talked about it real quick before we get to our guests, but how's the knee?
It's better. I can do all normal things without any problem, but I don't like just doing normal things. I like to run and play and go outside, and you know, I'm not even cleared to shoot yet, but I have been shooting.
Good feel.
On my goalies.
How long has it been since your surgery?
6 months.
6 months.
So I got another six. I'll bring in our guest because don't remember if I told him. Severn School's Corey Bulkin. How we doing, man?
What's going on, Kyle? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I tore my ACL in the summer because I'm an old man playing lacrosse. I actually met with my best friend for lunch the other day, and he's like, how did you do it again? I was like, I was just running like really hard, and then I stopped. And he's like, you tore your own ACL? Are you serious? And I was like, yeah. He's had like a lot of injuries. He got really upset. He's just like, are you serious right now? You tore your own ACL. That's insane. And I was like, I think that's how it happens to a lot of people.
Is it? Yeah, it is. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah,
he was mad. He's like, no one even hit you or anything. I was like, no, I just kind of fell and it was over. You know?
I feel like that's how you see most guys go down. We'll go with that at least, you know?
Well, you know when it happens, it's bad. Because any non-contact injury, you're just like, ooh, that's bad.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and how many guys you see at the professional level, college level, that jump up and down after a field goal or a touchdown, or they score a goal, and next thing you know, they blow out their ACL. And I'm like, every time I see a player do that now, I'm like, why are you doing that? Haven't you learned your lesson? So many guys have hurt just jumping up and down.
What's the famous example? Martin Gramatica?
Yeah.
The kicker for like the...
Arizona, wasn't it?
Was it Arizona or Tampa Bay? Was it Arizona?
I think it was Arizona.
Yeah. And you know, there was a lacrosse one, Phipps from Maryland did it against Syracuse back in the day.
Oh, God.
He was jumping up and down after they got a big stop, I remember, in the dump. So, not fun.
No.
It's always turf. Why are we still playing on turf?
Well, you have no option.
Why are we still playing on turf?
You have no option in the Northeast, that's
for
sure.
I know.
No.
Yeah.
It was Bill Gramatica, and it was for the Cardinals.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. You
correct again.
Yeah. Correcting me again. I think
elite athletic company for you, though, Kyle. There you go.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You know, I feel better about it. I don't. It hurt and it sucked. Yeah. Let's kind of talk about, you know, I was talking about you to Jack before, and he's like, how do you know this guy? I'm like, I think it goes back to me like saying a mean tweet about him 12 years ago. And somehow we have become more friendly than acquaintances. Not quite friends, but pretty close. I text him about face-off stuff, and he, you know, you're a face-off guy. So why don't you talk a little bit about your career in high school and then in college as well?
Yeah, I grew up just outside of Syracuse. I went to Baldwinsville High School. I was lucky enough to play for a couple of awesome coaches there, Pete Fiorini and Coach Donahue, one of the many Donahues out there in the world, all from West Genesee, all like Syracuse guys. Then I went to Lemoyne College, graduated 2011. I was lucky enough to have some pretty good teams at those 4 years, went to three national championships. It's become my, my thing to lose national championships. I'm 0-4 in my career, one as a coach, three as a player. And then after Lemoyne, I started playing in the MLL, and that was a thing. And that's when I ended up on Kyle's radar in his crosshairs. I think you're doing a season preview after my first year. And there was like a carousel of face-off guys that went through Charlotte. That was the team I played for the longest. And you called me the B-side to a one-hit wonder, which was still one of the nicest things anybody's ever written about me. So I really appreciate it.
I always remember that you remember that, and I don't remember the exact thing I said, but this is like when I, like talking to you about this for the first time is the first time I realized like, oh, people like remember all this stuff. Cause you don't get any, aside from Twitter, like the immediate feedback in lacrosse is like non-existent. You'd think it would be huge and everyone would just be like, hey, you're an idiot. Or like, this is so stupid. And then I was just like, how come everyone hates me? And then it's like stuff like that. Like I would go to sidelines and they'd be like, Devitt's here, you know, and they would just be like, they get ready to like razz me or whatever. It's kind of like coming in doing a podcast with you every weekend.
Well, look, I think maybe I'm one of the, in the minority when it comes to, you know, getting chirps, because I certainly like to do it to people. You got to have thick skin and be able to take it. I thought it was a good one. And again, like I told Kyle after we met, I had it printed off in frames for a while, like somewhere buried. Yeah.
I was going to ask you what your reaction was when you first saw it and you actually had it framed. That's great.
Dude, I mean, D2 guy playing in the MLL, you're on borrowed time. You're just waiting. You know, I was waiting until, you know, Brandon Fowler got drafted. And as soon as he did, I was like, I just retired, you know? So anybody willing to waste a few lines on me, that was fine by me.
Do you have, it says on your bio that you worked towards a master's in English. You have a master's in English? Did I not know that?
Pretty close. Yeah. Washington College, my first job out of college. I was the GA there. We had three GAs at Washington College and a full-time assistant coach. You know, we had a staff of six guys, and we were in an office about half the size of what I'm sitting in now for myself. And then Coach Shirk had his own office, but that was the deal. We got classes for free, and I was trying to play in the MLL. I was trying to finish a master's, which again, I was not an academic kid. Lacrosse is what got me through college. And, then I end up, after 2 years, it was kind of enough for me. I made a move from a coaching career perspective, and, didn't ever finish it, but I got probably about 60% of the way there.
Yeah. I don't put this on resumes or anything. Cause when it's like, did you go to grad school? Technically I did. I am a quarter of the way to an MBA, but I'm not sure if those credits translate from Franklin Pierce. Cause I don't think it was accredited when I took the classes when I was in GA there. So I kind of just was like, oh yeah, this isn't going to work out. I'm going to go to
Franklin Pierce. There you go.
Yeah. Well, the thing is I learned from that point, like I was like, oh, I really love coaching. I just don't want to coach here right now. And then I went to go coach with Jerry Byrne, which is at St. A's when he was at St. A's. And that was actually the best thing that I've ever done in terms of like learning lacrosse.
Right. And you worked the box a lot, right? You said?
Yes.
That's a tough job.
It's the worst job in lacrosse.
It is.
Like it's because you
can't go out. You can't watch the game.
No, you kind of have to, but you also have to have like, listen, and I've told this story like 100 times, like I screwed up once running the box with Jerry Byrne, and it was in a game where we were winning like 20-4 down in Florida, and I screwed up. We're destroying this team. It wasn't even like a college team, I don't think. We're beating them into the ground, and one of the short stick D-middies put his foot over the line after we were doing kind of the midfield sub, like half a second too early. We got a flag immediately. And I, to this day, remember the heat of him on my face and me being like, yeah. I can never screw up again. I can never screw up again. Never again. And I learned that was the most valuable lesson. It's just like, you have to pay attention to everybody, and also everything's your responsibility in your zone.
Yep.
So I've learned that was the most valuable lesson, you know, I ever learned. And I know you've coached with some really like high level coaches at some high level schools. What are some of the lessons that you learned coming out of college when you got into coaching college?
Oh man, I was really lucky. Like every stop on the way, I've had somebody that kind of did something more for me from not only like a professional perspective, but like a, you know, personally. I grew up a lot. My 2 years at Washington College, going from like Syracuse New York, you know, fairly decent sized city, and you know, you're there's stuff to do. And then you move to Chestertown, Maryland, where, you know, the only people your age are off limits to hang out with and to date or anything like that. So you had to be, you know, like I had a really good like mentor, Jeff Shirk, who kind of helped me become like more of a man in terms of just how you show up to an office every day and, you know, kind of take care of your business. He was a younger dad at that point too. And I watched him kind of with his kids. It's crazy. He's got a daughter that's about to graduate high school now. But no, like he helped me a lot kind of away from, you know, just coaching lacrosse. He kind of really tested me about like what I wanted to do, if coaching was really what I wanted to do. Cause he gave me a really, not just me, but all the guys that I worked with in that office. Larry Klein, who's the head coach at Cushing Academy. He's I'm going to mess up where he's from. He's from outside Boston, Beverly, Mass. And he went to Binghamton. He's been all around the, college ranks as well. And then Shane Lynch is the head coach at Nichols College now.
Yes.
That office also included Chris Miller, who is he's a defensive coordinator at Villanova now. So, just that one group of assistant coaches for 2 years they ended up kind of building a pretty good tree of their own. But that phrase right there, the coaching tree, like I learned that from Coach Shirk. He kind of taught me the ropes of like how to make it in that business, you know, and how to kind of network and, kind of grow that way. And then, when I went to Bellman Abbey for a year because I was in Charlotte, you know, worked with Chris Barrett and Spencer Wims. Spencer was a guy I was playing with at the time for the Hounds. And, he's a guy I played against. He was a limestone guy, one of the best they ever had there. So, you know, kind of got more of a chance to go from being like at this like really storied program to like a startup, you know, and really dig in from a recruiting perspective, two very different types of recruiting. You know, Beaumont Abbey and Division II lacrosse is a little bit more, you know, cast a much wider net, and you bring in a lot of kids to kind of see what sticks. You know, you're a little bit more targeted on the D3, or, you know, the better, you know, upper echelon of Division III recruiting is a little bit more targeted. From there, I was really, really fortunate. Got to go to UVA to be the volunteer assistant under Dom Starja, and Coach Ben Arsdale. You know, their last 2 years there, was pretty special to me. That was the best job I've ever had. Still, you know, didn't make a dime coaching lacrosse, but, just being in office with those two guys, kind of listening to how they kind of related all things back to lacrosse. I mean, they're just such like a, you know, they've been doing it together for so long, that, you know, for a while I wasn't sure if they just didn't want me around or didn't want me to know everything. Cause they almost could communicate in like these grunts, you know, they just kind of knew what the other was doing.
Jack.
Yeah.
We're just using hand signals behind the laptops.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, from Dom, just like what the game can do, you know, for you and how you're supposed to, you know, how you're supposed to treat the people that, you know, are a part of this game too. And, you know, he's a guy that just, he always had time for anyone, you know, some, you know, random startup coach in the middle of nowhere, who Dom doesn't know from anyone would get his email address somehow and send him a note. And, you know, the next thing you know, Dom would be on the phone with the guy for an hour and, you know, just sharing his time and his experience. You know, guy like that, you know, I think he changed so much over the course of his, you know, coaching career. He would tell you the same thing. You know, and I've felt that I've kind of at least had the opportunity to kind of look through a different lens now, over, you know, the course of like 12 years we're going on coaching and, you know, just kind of seeing kind of the ebbs and flows of kind of your personality and kind of the phase of life you're in. Like he was a guy that like really kind of clued me in on all that stuff. And then, you know, you talk to Coach Van Arsdale, who is quite possibly the smartest human being you'll ever meet. but he's also like the most easygoing, easiest guy to talk to. You know, he's, you know, a genius when it comes to, you know, X's and O's. And then Don was just this great motivator. You know, he did such a good job of like involving everybody and making sure that kids had a role and they felt like they were a part of something, you know. And then went to Ohio State, Coach Myers. I got like a, you know, I was there with him and Brad Ross, who's the head coach at Bryant now. And Brad said, and I feel this way, like, you know, when you leave Ohio State, you know, you're going to graduate with a master's in lacrosse, because Nick Myers does a really good job of like, he dissects X's and O's better. Like he'll do it to death. Like, you know, he will, you know, if we're going to go one way and do one thing, like we want to have it all, you know, fleshed out. And I think like just looking at it from different perspectives before you just decide to go with one thing. I learned that from him. And then, you know, my last few years at Hartford with Coach Martin, you know, he was a guy that recruited me out of high school. I had known him that long. He was at NAS at the time. And, you know, he shared, he gave me a lot of leeway and gave me a lot of, you know, he gave me the reins after kind of my first year to run things how I saw fit, as long as I could explain myself. And, you know, I learned a lot just kind of on my own at that point. I wasn't like checking in to see if I could do one thing or another. So he was great for me in that respect.
You're a face-off guy, obviously, kind of, I don't want to say first, because you're a lacrosse guy first, right? Yes. Like the tradition of where you're from is like you play lacrosse and you face off.
Yes.
Now I feel like we're trying to trend towards back towards that, but we're not.
Yeah.
At the same time, like we're not doing a good job of that in terms of, you know, we're doing rule changes, we're doing all these things. But
right.
In your experience at college and now you're at Savern, can you kind of walk me through the changes in the position and how it's being recruited? Because I mean, I'm not going to bring up the whole we're going to get rid of faceoffs thing, because we're not a get rid of faceoffs podcast. That's not us. That's someone else. I don't know who that is, but it's not us. Can you kind of talk about your experience as a player and then going through that in college and now you're coaching faceoff guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe just being a little bit, I don't know, maybe naive, but also definitely a little, high on myself. Like when I came out of high school, I had like couples, you know, one coach in particular said, well, you can come here and play, you know, you'll never come off the field. And I was like, okay, because you don't want to go to Lemoyne, you'll just be a face-off guy there. I was like, okay, that's not why I'm going there. But, you know, and it ended up not being the case, but, I was very much like, did not want to be kind of pigeonholed into that. And if that meant not playing Division I, that was fine by me. I wanted to be on the field. I didn't want to be a spectator. And, you know, I always felt like that was an advantage I had over, you know, other face-off guys. And then, you know, getting into coaching, I kind of very quickly saw it from a skills perspective. I saw the kids at that position, their lacrosse acumen kind of devolved, you know, and as it got into the knee down. And you know, and that was tough for me. I always really kind of pressed the kids that I coached, in college to be a little bit more than that, at least, you know, strive to be. And it became very difficult to say like, well, this kid who's, you know, not as big, not as athletic, you know, or, you know, is kind of dumpy looking and he's 5'8", but he can do this really good. And, you know, is he better than a kid that, you know, maybe isn't as great at facing off, but he's a better athlete. And, you know, that was, I think, what so many guys got kind of hung up on, for a number of years. So that was tough. I think that was the hard part. And that was when coaches got really down on the face off. And now what I've seen going back to like when the kids are standing up and, the ball's out more, and like anybody that wants to argue that is, you know, just wrong. And I think what you're seeing is coaches actually diving into it a little bit more. They, you can, when you talk to them about like the recruiting side of it, you know, they have kind of at least the buzzwords. They know enough to be dangerous, about like, you know, what they're watching. So I think there's some coaches that are really invested in like finding out about, you know, like what they're looking at. And I think they do a really good job too, obviously, of, you know, kind of tapping into the resources that are out there now. Like Greg and Jerry will talk to anybody. They'll talk their ear off about, you know, Greg and Jerry from the Face Off Academy. They'll talk about, you know, facing off with any coach that wants to listen for more than 5 minutes. And, I think they've done a really good job trying to educate guys, and they do it with no other reasons other than try to help the kids that, that they coach. So,
yeah. And the thing about Greg, that's great. I had a kid show up, we had tryouts this week at Hoppington, and, had a freshman show up, and he had he's not a face-off kid. He's like an attack midi offensive kid. And he is getting ready for practice. He's putting his pads on, and he's wearing a Grenlian PLL jersey. And it's like it's the ugly away one with the maroon stripe and stuff. And I see that it's signed by Greg and Kyle Harrison. And I was like, come here for a second. And he's like, what? And I was like, I'm not going to do this much, guys, but I'm going to flex right now. took a photo. This is at night. This is had to be like 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night. I take a photo and they're like, what are you doing? And I was like, you'll see. And they're like, he's in his contacts. And I was like, all right, yeah, I am. And I sent it to Greg, and I didn't expect a response. I just thought, I was like, hey, freshie showed up wearing your stuff, rocking your fit. And he likes the photo within 10 seconds. And it's just like, what a stud. And I'm just like, yes, that's that is lacrosse, man. Like,
yeah. And you showed your player that he called him a stud.
Yes, I turned it around right away.
He must have been a 7-11.
Let me tell you, ear to ear, braces blazing. Like, so happy. And, you know, it's funny, like we do this podcast and we talk about levels and coaching and recruiting and all these different things that are part of lacrosse. But like the best part of lacrosse is the relationships that you can make. And kind of like
and share,
cultivate, share.
Yeah.
And like, it's so like fun to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just the most recent example. It literally happened this week. I haven't done anything like that for a very long time, but I was just like, you know what? Greg will love this. I was like, I don't want to say his name on the podcast. I almost said his name. This kid will love this.
Owen.
Greg will love that. Yeah. His name's Owen. Get me in trouble with the parents. Why don't you?
No.
But like that reaction, like he's going to remember, that kid's going to remember
that's
that.
That's why you do what you do.
It's so much fun. Like, yeah. And you know, I know you went from college to coaching high school, and you were also a director at a club team. How do you parse that with your experience, right? Like, how do you kind of connect all those things together so that they work for you in your current role?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, stay up a lot later than I should sometimes. Other than that, you know, I'm really lucky. Like the job I have here at Severn is, you know, my RADs, you know, I work in the building. I'm the director of facilities. So, you know, it's a lot of, you know, game day setup and, you know, helping out wherever hands are needed. Teach a little gym class here and there too. And, but you know, I do have time to kind of, you know, manage the day-to-day kind of task work of, you know, running a club, and work with the guys that I work with kind of remotely. And then, you know, it's one of those things. I think everybody around here understands that, you know, if you're going to make a living in lacrosse, it's not going to be one avenue. It's going to be, you know, a number of different ways to do it. And so many people are involved in club and stuff like that and coaching around here that, you know, we've got a former Navy attackman here, a guy named Eddie McKinnon, who's just started coaching here at Severn. You know, he's a president of a, you know, private transportation firm. And like, he's here like every day. Like, people just understand that this is, you know, you carve out time of your day in lacrosse in Maryland. So it's pretty cool that way. You know, and then again, like the ebbs and flows of the year, like there's downtime with holidays from school and obviously the summers, that's obviously the busiest season for clubs. So that kind of, it does kind of lend itself nicely to one another. You know, and I think that's where, you know, I've been fortunate to kind of make it all work.
So when you first started coaching, look out on that lens when you first started versus where you're looking out of the lens now, Talk about some of the things you've learned from Dom and some of the other coaches that you've worked with, the Lemoyne coach, CN.
Yeah.
And so on and so forth. So, some of the things that, you know, obviously you didn't know and now you apply to your coaching that means so much to you and maybe influence your life in a very positive way.
Yeah. You know, I think coming from Lemoyne, Coach Sheehan is, he's one of the best at keeping things as simple as possible. You know, it's not a lot of fluff. There's not a lot of change year to year. And it almost, going into college coaching from playing for him and being a, you know, we were very straight up like one-on-one defense. You know, we don't slide a whole lot. I was a D-Midi in college as well. And, you know, like it was very much like, hey, just don't get beat. Like we'll play man on man and we'll see, you know, how many times you can run by one of us. And, you know, I get to, you know, Washington College, I remember kind of butting heads with Shane Lynch, especially where I'm like, so you're going to slide to somebody that's not beat yet because why, you know? And, you know, I think just, learning that obviously not everybody's in a position to kind of coach the way that Coach Sheehan was, when I was in college, you know, the level of kids that we were getting at Lemoyne compared to what we were playing against every week was interesting. And then obviously, you know, learning how to collaborate with other coaches and take ideas and learn stuff like what's actually out there and the way it got, you know, however many ways there are to skin a cat to help kids, you know, be successful in lacrosse. Like that's what I learned very early on. And then, you know, finding what fits you best, as a coach, what you feel like you can, you know, kind of lend to kids and make sure that they understand how to play the game kind of in your image too sometimes. And then again, like helping kids just become like adults, like grow up, like watching them from, you know, like in a 4 to 5 year cycle. You know, some of the kids that I've been able to be around that I still am in touch with to this day. Like that's the best part, kind of like, to Kyle's point earlier, just the amount of like connections you make that way, whether they go on to be a pro lacrosse player or, you know, I got one of the kids that I got to know at Virginia. It was like traveling around the country in a van, you know, like he was just pretty interesting cat. You know what I mean? I think just that. And then, you know, with like kind of lessons from like the game, like Dom Stargard carried the ball bag out to practice every single day. Like you don't see, you know, right, coaches do that, ever really. And, you know, like it was something that was really important to him. And, you know, it was his way of showing like, hey, we're all in this together. This is our, you know, this is what we do. And, you know, he would always make sure like, you know, the best players carry the ball bag in, you know, it was kind of one of his sayings. And, you know, it's so much less about like coaching is so much less about the X's and O's, but it's more about, how you can kind of, you know, galvanize a group to kind of work towards a common goal. And that was something that I learned from Dom too, is, you know, making sure that kids are all bought into working towards something, moving in the same direction is, you know, the bigger piece at times. And, you know, like getting caught up in two slides and, you know, how you move the ball is kind of the, you know, where a lot of frustrations boil over at times. But, you know, like with coaching, you know, it's a lot of personalities, kids and coaches alike, and bringing them together and, you know, trying to be successful and win games and, you know, teach kids how to be better people, not just better lacrosse players is the biggest thing.
Do you like coaching high school more than college?
It's a lot more. So like the time you spend like on like your team, your program is the percentage of actually being on a field is way higher, it seems. You know, we get to be on a field. We get to be, you know, it's very much like, you know, we have obviously constraints with our league and everything like that. But, you know, but then there's obviously different headaches, right? I think that's the thing with college coaching. You know, there's so much that comes along with it that, you know, when I got into it, I was not prepared for in the least. You know, the admin of it all. And, you know, I was lucky to be at some places where some of that got taken off our plates as assistant coaches. But then, you know, when you're an assistant at, you know, smaller schools, Division I, II, or III, and you're booking travel and you're making sure hotels remember you're coming and all that stuff, like, you know, you forget that you're actually a lacrosse coach at times. So, you know, high school coaching is, you know, you can see that rapid improvement. You know, I think like the MIA, the league we're in, is one of the top leagues in the country at the high school level. And so it kind of scratches that itch still to be in a really competitive environment. You know, it's pretty ruthless. You know, Maryland private school lacrosse, it gets pretty brutal. You know, and I think like it's really well coached. That's the amazing thing too, is like you see so much more like junk defenses, like they're like throwing stuff at you game to game and you're getting double shutoffs and stuff like that. Stuff you don't see in college across, you know what I mean? And
pull it off.
No.
Yeah.
And again, like it's very much like, you know, you find like a little way to needle an opponent and get them off their game. And it's, you know, it goes quick. It's a lot of fun. And again, like we're lucky, like we play by the shot clock. You know, it's still very fast paced lacrosse. You know, and we're lucky we still have like that recruiting component. You know, it's set back a little bit. You're recruiting younger families now, but, you know, that I still get like, that's obviously the other piece too, is, you know, the college lacrosse, like the recruiting side of things, getting to know kids and families and bringing them in to campus to show them kind of what you and your program and your school are all about. We still have a little bit of that here in the, you know, the private school world. So like, I do really enjoy that. I'm starting to get more involved with that now that I've been here for 2 years. So, those are kind of the big pieces. You know, I don't know if I like it more or less. I think it's, it gives me kind of the, you know, kind of, it scratches the itch, I guess is the best way to put it.
Coaching high school is awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's just for me personally, I think it's so much more fun because you, like you said, you get to see a kid go from, you know, he just started playing as a freshman, or like he's come in, but he's too small. And then he just grows. And all of a sudden the kid's starting at attack. And that's, for me, that's like the most, you know, cause I'm actually like counting down, until I can coach my girlfriend's son. So I'm like, okay, I have this much time left at Hopkinton. I have to go coach at Wyndham, or just beg them to let me coach at Wyndham so I can coach him. Because I'm just trying to plan out my life that way. And the thing I'm looking forward to is like, okay, so my freshman this year, I'm going to have them for 4 years. That's awesome. Okay. Yeah. It's like what I think about. And I was coaching college. I was just like, how am I going to eat? Where will I eat? Which freshman will give me their swipe into the cafeteria to feed me so I don't starve to death? Which is the best, because high school allows you the freedom to actually like be able to coach and kind of have another job. And you're lucky enough to be at the school full time and also coach, facility management. Do you have to like, well, you don't have to paint fields, right? Cause you have turf.
Well, we have one grass field. So I do lie in that field, and then,
turn out the water cannon or no?
No.
Oh my God.
No.
We're pretty water cannon.
You should look up Severn School's campus. I mean, it's pretty sweet. Like
I'm just teasing because
I have lined fields. I have strong nets.
Have you brought out a water cannon, a rusty, gross water cannon to water your field? Because that's the best.
No, I haven't.
That's how you know you're dedicated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rusty, no doubt.
Yeah. Just popping out everywhere. I need to tell you a story because you're a Lemoyne guy. So we had Coach Sheehan on this podcast. We asked him point blank if they were going to go D1. He said,
"Lied to your face."
He said, "I don't know what you're talking about." The week we asked him that, they went D1 like 2 days later. And I was like, I love Coach. I coached against him. Like we have a pretty good relationship.
When you had St. A's with Jerry Byrne,
St. A's and Franco Pierce.
Yeah.
I'm like, I was just sitting there going, I can't believe it. I think I texted you and I was like, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. But like, that's the job, right? Like, but I wanted to tell you that story because like so many people were like, didn't you just have this guy on your podcast? I got like texts from people I haven't talked to in a long time. They're like, didn't this guy just say we weren't going to go D1? I'm like, that's his job. I'm not mad at him. But I was like, next time I see him, I'm going to be like, hey coach, remember you did a podcast with us? And you said that. And now they're D1.
He'll look at you and he'll be like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, he'll be like, who are you? Yeah. Is what he'll say.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. But I
and then he'll smile at you. Like he'll give you a wink. Like it's
sweet. Yeah. So. He'll smile and a wink. I don't think he loves media that much, but most coaches do. So what I wanted to put to you as the second part of that anecdote is I know you're super pro D2.
Yeah.
Or D2 alum. Now that Lemoyne's in D1, I'm seeing a lot of tweets from you about Lemoyne being D1, playing other D1s. And I feel like there's been a shift in your attitude toward Division I and Division II. I'm giving you an opportunity to explain yourself.
Yeah. No, look, like knowing the niche that Lemoyne was in at Division II, being in Syracuse, you know, you put up a map of Division II lacrosse schools across the country. We're kind of, you know, very unique in the state of New York, outside of Long Island, really. You know, there weren't many Division II programs to go to, not just for lacrosse, anywhere, or any sport, I mean. And I felt like, you know, they had such a good thing going. They were becoming really competitive. They've always been really competitive since they moved from Division I women's lacrosse down to Division II. That actually happened when I was there. I think my junior year they moved down and they were like in a Final Four, like my senior year. Like basketball was making strides. Nate Champion, a guy that I went to school with, he's the head coach at Lemoyne now. He did a great job in their first year as a Division I school. I just felt like they were in such a uniquely positioned, you know, with the level of lacrosse and the way they could do eight, you know, based on Division II standards and all that stuff. It always made Lemoyne like a really affordable option, without having to be like a state school or anything like that. And, you know, going to Division I, having been kind of run the gamut of like seeing how it is at the very top levels, you know, the ACCs and the Big Tens of the world. And then, you know, at Archer where they went the other way, and they dropped down to Division III. I was there at the very end of that. And, you know, you watch a school that, tries to do everything on a budget, and remain competitive. It makes for, you know, just different stressors, I guess. And, you know, obviously I have no idea exactly where, Lemoyne falls in terms of like how much support they're actually getting. And again, like I don't press Coach Sheen on any of that stuff. Like that's not for me to ask nor for me to know. But like, I think I was really big on like, you know, we have everything we need to be super competitive, not just in lacrosse, but you know, in all these other sports, you know, like, what are we going to get out of it? And I think like maybe my time leaving Hartford where, you know, Division I sports was a big draw for that school, in terms of enrollment. And, you know, I don't know how they are now, but, I don't think it's gotten much better in terms of enrollment since they made that move. I think, you know, there's a million different things that go into it and look, you know, athletics being, you know, a very small part of that. So now, you know, they made this decision. It is what it is. I still support Coach Sheehan and, you know, my alma mater, no matter what. And I think, you know, they've shown, some flashes of being able to compete. I think they've, you know, I think they're finding out like the day in and day out, level of play you have to have is very different at the Division I level. You know, you can get up for a big game in Division II, and you know, the next week you're going to play Franklin Pierce. You know what I mean? It's a little bit different, in that sense. So, every single team in Division I, is, you know,
you got to get up for more.
Yeah. I mean, there's more staffs, there's more kids on each roster. There's, you know, like it's again, like to an extent, you know, from being on the club and high school side now, like that's still the big shiny jewel is being a Division I lacrosse player.
Sure.
And I think, you know, where kids still like, you know, it's still kind of like kids are a square peg going into a round hole. Like they're still not going to like the schools that they really want to at times. But if they are going to play Division I lacrosse, like they're going to go do it. And, you know, I think like, Coach Sheehan had such a good niche of like kids that were like, they don't need to be Division I. Even though like they maybe were getting recruited to play that level. A lot of kids that left Division I to come to Lemoyne. So again, like I think just they're finding their way. And I think, you know, again, like they battled Denver, you know, at halftime. They were tied 5-5, and you know, again, they haven't even played a home game until this coming weekend. So I think I'm pretty proud of what they've been able to do. You know, especially nobody giving them anything. You know, nobody had to play them this year, and you know, a bunch of coaches were able to give them games. You know, it was really tough for Coach Sheen to schedule, just because they're not in a conference. So he was trying to fill like these weeks where, you know, everybody else is in conference play and he's just hoping somebody has a bye week or something. And, you know, he's taking anything he can get. Like the one story he did tell me was he was trying to get Andy Shea to bring Yale to Lemoyne, and he offered to retire Andy's number, apparently, he brought him there, and Andy still said no, which is pretty typical for Coach Shea. I'm not surprised that he didn't.
Coach Shea does not care. He does not.
I mean, I love the fact that Coach Shea would even offer that just to try to get a game was awesome. So
amazing.
And I think, you know, Coach Shea will you know, he'll get it back to where he needs to be. And like again, just the chance to play Division I lacrosse will attract more eyes, and he'll like his net that he can cast recruiting will widen a little bit. You know, like Division II is a little, it's very clicky and niche in a way, like it was very regional. You know, like kids from Maryland don't understand what Division II lacrosse is because there's no D2 programs in the state.
Frostburg.
So
yeah,
that's a very good point, Coach.
So, you know, again, like, but Division One now, kids are like, you know, the kids I have here, like a couple of them are like, oh, like Lemoyne's Division One. Like, when did that happen? And I'm like, oh, just now. So, you know, it's on kids' radars that it typically wouldn't be on anymore. So it's cool. And I think like coach will do a good job, and he's finally got a full-time, assistant coach on staff. He's never had that before. You know, he has a part-time assistant who's been there for a long time. Guy played with Vinny Alexander, and they hired Justin Schneidman, who's he's been around. He coached at Fairfield and Colgate. He went to Cortland, so he's kind of recruited at that level of Division I lacrosse that you know, I think Lemoyne is aspiring to compete at.
Coach, looking at your program, you have a varsity A, a varsity B, and a JV team. Is that correct?
We don't have a B team. No, we're pretty full.
Oh, okay. To varsity and JV or just.
Yep. Yeah. So we got 60 kids in our JV varsity program. And we're, you know, we're, you know, one of those kind of middle of the pack, schools. Like we've always been very competitive. You know, we're in the same conference as BL and Calvert Hall and McDonough, you know, some of the more perennial powers, but you know, we always find ways to kind of, you know, battle with them and make sure that we, you know, we sneak a game here and there. And, you know, it's kind of, I kind of like that mentality that we have here and the way they've always been. And, it's a school that doesn't really change who they are just to be a little bit better at sports. And you know, we still have had a lot of success from, not only lacrosse, but all sports, perspective. And, the MIA is tough. You know, we're really lucky to compete in it. And again, you know, I think more kids look at Severn because we're in the A conference of the MIA, you know, than they would if we weren't in the A conference or anything like that. So, we always have really, really good kids. We've got some kids going to, some awesome spots, over the next couple of years. And we've got some young guys coming up in the next, you know, 26 to 27 grad years. And, you know, we're excited to see where kind of some of these kids shake out, and find a home.
Obviously, coaching college and high school is completely different. But do you find that one of the most challenging parts of it, you're at a very good school, private school, very good program, the expectations of the parents and players coming to school, you know, going, you know, that direction to Division One?
Yeah. You know, again, I think the expectation is, you know, that they, you know, their kids will get put in a spot to be successful. And you know, I think it does take, for some parents and some families, it takes a lot of, it'll take conversations, over the course of the year. And again, like at the end of the day, like I'll never, I'll do everything I can for a kid to try to find out. Like, I can get you a yes or no. And like, I know enough people, I know enough coaches to find out if the coach at that school that you want to go to thinks you're good enough. And at that point, what else can we do but move on? You know what I mean? If a coach takes, if a coach takes an interest, that's great. We're lucky. Like, obviously, like I said, we're in one of those high school leagues where coaches actually kind of keep tabs on throughout the course of the year, you know, even though their seasons are going on, like what you do in this conference, you know, in this high school season is, you know, weighted pretty heavily, I think, as opposed to some other areas of the country. And I think, what parents expect is, you know, they just want their kids to at least have a chance to, reach that goal, whatever it may be, whether it's Division I, II, or III, college across or not. You know, we graduated 20 seniors, and I think only 8 of our seniors last year went on to play college across. One of our best players, I thought, last year, one of the most impactful kids we had is just at school at University of Tennessee now.
Interesting.
I
wouldn't have expected that. And I think that's a good thing, because there's so many other options. I mean, lacrosse isn't everything. It's a big part of our lives, but I've recommended, go play club lacrosse at South Carolina, or I'm sure they have a program at Tennessee where you can have a social life. You can still play lacrosse and get a good education.
Yeah, no. And I think we have a lot of that here. And that kid specifically comes from a big time lacrosse family. Dad is, I'm going to mess it up. I think he was a Maryland guy, played at Maryland. His older brother is a senior at Utah, playing on the lacrosse team there. And, just wasn't for him. And he's got their youngest brother is a junior on our team now. He's not sure what he's going to do yet. So, I think it's pretty cool to see kids that have the confidence not to have to go, go play college across. Me and my buddies all the time talk about, like, yeah, we didn't think anything of it. We're like, yeah, we're going to play college across. What else would we do? Like,
right.
If I don't go play lacrosse in college, like, why am I going to college?
I wouldn't have gone to college if I couldn't play lacrosse.
Right. Exactly.
So, I wouldn't have a degree if I didn't play lacrosse. Really? Yeah. That's.
Dude, I just wanted to play.
Right.
I finally found a place to let me.
Yeah, exactly. Same here.
And I think, I'm glad that more kids are the other way now. They're more academically motivated. And
it's true.
I think every kid, when I'm helping them with recruiting, I'm like, hey, everybody's got a pie chart, right? And, however important school is to you is, takes up 40% of that. And the social scene and, the setting is another, piece of that, and then obviously lacrosse, how much that figures in. And myself, like, looking back, like, lacrosse was the biggest piece, and that's, not for everybody, but, I think, after I started to get recruited, it wasn't like, Harvard was knocking on the door and they're like, you can get in here if you're a good lacrosse player. And I felt like every school I was looking at was basically, one wasn't standing out of the pack from an academic standpoint, heads above the other. But lacrosse, I was like, yeah, Lemoyne's the best program. I'm going there.
It's a great place to end on. Really appreciate you coming on, Coach.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it. Jack, nice talking to you, too.
Nice. Very nice talking to you. And I run into Coach Sheehan almost every weekend because his son and my son both play at Cornell. So, I've gotten to know him. He's a good man. And son's doing a nice job at Cornell.
Ryan's awesome, man. I remember him throwing rocks at me when he was a little kid. And when we were trying to run sprints and stuff and, we'd shove him in a locker. And now he wears number 18 like I did. So Coach Sheehan, as much as he probably won't want to admit to that, I like to think that I had something to do with that too. So.
Good stuff. I'm sure you did.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And thanks again for listening to New England Lacrosse Journals, Chasing the Goal podcast. For Jack Piattelli, I'm Kyle Devitt. I'll see you next time.